Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off. Hey, welcome to the Dropship Podcast, and this is a fun one. We get to bring someone back who's been on here multiple times and just recently sold his business. Jaden, welcome back, buddy. Congratulations.
Thanks, mate. Thanks for having me.
It's a cool moment in your journey. Like, everyone's going to have some exit at some point, right? My first one, albeit relatively small in comparison to what we're going to talk about today, was like meaningful to me in so many ways. It really changed the way I thought about life, the way that I thought of what was possible. And it truly shifted my trajectory back in 2016. And so, like, I assume this moment is very cool. It's also very surreal. It probably isn't everything that you hoped it would be either. And so I hope to like dive into some of that today. But really, I want to know, when did you start this? And like, how far, like, you had a meaningful exit in the last 30 days. When did you actually start this process, and how long did it take to get to a meaningful exit?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, when I started the process in terms of the business itself, like, I joined Dropship Breakthrough in August of 22. So, you know, that's a little over 2 years ago. Launched my business in October 22. So basically dead on 2 years, right? So we sold after the business had been active and trading for 2 years, which is definitely on the faster end. And I'm saying we, like the royal we, I've pretty much been a solopreneur in this one. My wife's helped out here and there, but yeah, for the most part, it's been, and that's probably something we'll touch on later, it's been mostly me and sort of on my shoulders, which has been a struggle. But I have like a strange way of life in that I tend to make decisions what seems like really quickly. But I think like my decision-making process, like my brain, I think processes things in the subconscious, and then it just decides when I'm ready for that information. And it just seems to like bring that information to the fore in like a complete clarity. So it's really strange, but like my wife and I, we got married at the, it was the end of April. We got married and we did a UK wedding first, and then we went abroad for our sort of main wedding. And we were just having some massages and a short celebration after the first one. And I had like a 90 minute massage. And in that 90 minutes, I literally thought the whole thing through and decided, you know what, I'm going to list this business for sale and I'm going to pursue an exit. And then obviously, you know, sort of maybe 5 months later, that's all signed, done and sorted. So we actually signed the papers like a week and a half ago.
Yeah, five is can be fast, right? So I just recently sold the business. It took almost a year to get to the finish line. And I think people don't think through that process, right? We romanticize selling, and we should. Like it was a great day for you, and I kind of want to get into that as well. But you know, you should kind of prepare for the process. You should set your business up to be sold. You should have a lot of ducks in order. Otherwise, the selling process can be a nightmare. How did it go for you? Like, was it a smooth 5 months? Did you have a broker help you out with this? Did you have multiple buyers come in and kick the tires? How did the process go for you?
Yeah, you're completely right. Like, the process is brutal. It's not the sort of thing I do very well in. The easiest like comparison I can give, if anyone hasn't sold a business before, is like, it felt to me like buying and selling a house. Like, you're super emotionally invested because you've made this decision, and generally you've decided that for whatever reason you want this event to happen and this next chapter of your life to start. But then you have absolutely no control of making that happen. And that's quite a weird feeling as a business owner, because most of the time you feel like you are in control of most things, or you can at least influence them. With selling a business, like, you feel massively out of control. And you also know that it could get all the way to the day before you sign the papers, and there's nothing to stop the buyer deciding they want to put out, right? So that, you know, that fear of what if this all falls through tomorrow was definitely there for me. I used a broker. I used the same broker as John Murphy, who people will have probably heard on the podcast in the past. Quite a small brokerage. They don't take on many listings, but I spoke to a few. He was just the guy that I felt I connected with most. He also runs some e-commerce businesses, so I liked that he kind of really got some of the levers and selling points of the business, which was cool. And then yeah, we had pretty quiet in terms of serious interest. Like for the first 2 or 3 months, we had a lot of people kind of come in, have initial calls, ask questions, but we didn't have anyone put like a letter of intent, I think is the usual thing that people do when they're sort of like, right, we'd like to make an offer and proceed into due diligence. We didn't have any letters of intent until basically like the beginning of September. But that happened with our current buyer. And then from there, the due diligence process was intense. But also, to be fair, we got lucky, I think. And I'm very happy with the buyer so far in terms of like all their dealings during due diligence. They were very open and fair and upfront. And they have been in the kind of couple of weeks post-sale as well so far, which makes a big difference. And that's actually one thing that I think I've got lucky with, but has taught me the value of is you need to like the buyer of your business as much as they like your business. Because if you don't, it's going to be a pretty miserable process.
Yeah, certainly I've been through some exits where it wasn't pretty, and I've talked about it on the podcast. I know John has as well, and it's an interesting process. I love how you relate it to buying a house, except there is no, like, I don't know if earnest money is a thing in the UK, but like you have to put earnest money down. Are you supposed to, you know, usually in a contract you do, you put down a few $1,000 so that if you know, bitch out a couple days before, you know, actually closing, those that few $1,000 comes back to the owner to make them feel good about this. In a business, you get an LOI that is, it means nothing really, right? It means I'll take my business off the market. You get to probe me like you're a UFO picking me, you know, out of my house. And then if you don't like what you see, you just like, you know, you get to put me back in my house. And then, you know, I was off the market. I'm the one who's actually hurt by the whole process. So it's an interesting process. I don't want to turn people off though, right? Like you, 2 years, you went from knowing anything about this, right, to starting a business, buying a course that you probably paid around $2,000 for Dropship Breakthrough, and you've turned that into a meaningful sum. Are you open to sharing like how what that process looked like of getting there? Like, was there steps in reverse? Can you look back and say these are the 4 or 5 steps that I took? And then, are you if you're open to sharing, I'm sure the audience is dying to know, you know, what kind of financial windfall you had.
Of course. Sure. So I'm sort of thinking about this on the spot, but if I sort of like map the journey, the first thing was deciding that I wanted to change my life circumstances. And that happened probably months before I even bought Dropship Breakthrough. I've talked about this in previous episodes, but like essentially I went on a 2 week holiday with my family and my wife now. Absolutely loved it. It was brilliant. Loved all the quality time we were all spending together. But I had such misery about having to go back to work. And I just had this almost like crisis of, is this my next 50 years or 40 years or, you know, however long I work until I retire, that I sort of live for the weekend, for the holiday, for all this sort of thing. And of course, sort of wasn't content with accepting that that was the best that life could be. And I just had to live in a state of always looking forward to like that respite from my corporate job. So I made that decision. Then I got really stuck. You know, I got into that phase where you're listening to podcasts, reading books, you know, the classic 4-hour work week, all that sort of thing. And all it was doing was reaffirming this is definitely what I wanted to do. And I literally was like, okay, that's fine. I'm happy to do the work. I'm happy to take the sacrifice, whatever. But I just didn't feel like I could deploy myself. You know, there were things holding back, like the fear of going into a physical products business, like the idea of ordering a lot of stock terrified me at the time. I wasn't really willing to commit that much money. Like I think part of the reason, to be honest, I even purchased Dropship Breakthrough was because I could put it on monthly payments at the time anyway, and that kind of like just about got me over the line that I could, you know, I could spread the cost and that sort of thing. So yeah, loads of fear. But I remember I heard yourself, BK, on a podcast with Kurt Elster. You literally in about 5 minutes described high ticket drop shipping. And at that point, I was like, right, that's what I'm going to do. That feels like something I can start on today. And there's no obvious, like, huge barriers. Like, you know, it wasn't that it was going to be a shit business that I couldn't stand behind, you know, with poor products or really upset customers. It wasn't going to be huge investment and funding. So, yeah, I was like, okay, great, that's what I can do. Finally, I can channel some of this frustration. So, yeah, bought the course. And then from there, I'm very good when I have a really clear roadmap. So that was massive for me. When I can just commit the time and grind, that's when I'm at my best. It's when I'm not really sure which direction to go and that I get a bit useless. So yeah, that was cool. Then I guess like we did a load of building, didn't really make any money for the first probably 3 or 4 months. But in the background, the momentum was building, all the hard work was paying off. And then business kind of exploded pretty quickly from there. We then sort of went in the next 5 or 6 months to like high six figures in revenue, not too far. So, about 750K we ended up on in the first year. And because I was working full time, all that profit was going, in the bank essentially. So, suddenly I had like best part of a year's salary, and that was enough for me to feel comfortable to dive in full time. So that was a huge moment, like at the 1 year mark, being able to hand my notice in, give up my job, be a full-time business owner. Like that was massive. That was the dream when I started out, and I never dreamed that would happen in a 1 year time frame. The business kept growing and going from strength to strength. So very shortly afterwards, my wife also left her job. So like suddenly now we have no location commitments. We were able to go and work from wherever we wanted, all that sort of thing. So that felt like milestone one achieved. And then milestone two essentially sort of became the exit. And yeah, I'll go into a little bit more, I think, in a bit about sort of why I came to that decision and why I chose to sell. But yeah, in essence, we got the business. I actually, about a year before I put the business on the market, I spoke to a broker, a guy from one of the big brokerages. I can't remember whether it was QuietLight, whether it was Empire Flippers, but I basically just had like an introductory call with him and just got him to talk to me about all the things that were important when selling a business, like what, but how they would value it, what buyers valued. And that was one of the most valuable things I did, because I basically set myself a prepare for sale list. And that was, things like what grinding really hard on my SEO, getting to the point where ideally my traffic was at the very least 50 to 50-50 between organic and paid. And then all these other processes and things that he said that buyers would like to see. So that gave me a lot of focus and direction, and it also made investing in the business much easier. Like I spent about 5K on backlinks with a UK-based agency who I found to be very good. But that became really easy because I could see like the multiple I would get if I continued to enhance my SEO traffic. And so the idea of like what the return on investment would be became really clear. So yeah, in the end, we ended up getting about just shy of a 4x multiple. I think it worked out about 3.7 multiple, which meant we ended up with a sort of mid six figure exit, which that's probably like 4 or 5 years income for us, which is, if you'd have said that to 2 years ago, Jaden, when I was starting this and just joined the course and had no idea if I was going to succeed, like would have been beyond my wildest dreams. And it's actually funny how it didn't feel that momentous. Like, it was obviously awesome, but it shows how quickly you adjust to the new normal. Because, if you'd have blown my mind if you'd have said that I was going to do that 2 years ago. And, then it just becomes natural.
Well, look, I took some notes while you're doing that because I kind of like the order you went through, right? The decision came first. I've been doing a 75 hard. I'm like halfway through a 75 hard, and everyone keeps asking, is it hard? What's hard about it? Like, before I started, I would have told you, fuck yeah, there's no way I could do X, Y, or Z over the course of 75 days. Something's going to come up. And everything came up for me. And it's not been hard at all because I simply made the decision. Making the decision was the really hard part of like, continuing to listen to podcasts or whatever it is for you, right? Continuing to listen to podcasts, thinking about doing it, analyzing how it could go wrong, and like doing all the shit in your head helps no one, right? So you made the decision, then you took action, right, on the decision, right? You didn't just say, I'm gonna do this. Now then you actually like took the first steps, right? You followed a system. You didn't reinvent the wheel. John and I have been doing this for 10 years. We've laid out how we've done it. I think many of our students have taken it above and beyond what we could have ever imagined as well, you included, right? But you followed the system. And then you found a couple terms that like work for you. I think that like it's not products, it's the person you're serving and the products they buy, and then finding how they buy them. And you found a couple terms that, if I remember right, you and I worked together on a couple collection pages that ended up working really, really well for you, probably on an organic level, but also on a paid level, just finding those terms that people are using and then owning them, right? And then it sounds like a year in, you burn the boats, right? You said, there is no other option. I'm going to quit my job, which is like a great thing, but also a pretty scary thing, right? Like you're burning the boats and saying, I'm going all in here. Somewhere along there, you sought advice from smarter people, right? Including myself, including a broker, including, paying somebody to help with links. Hopefully, again, I trust your judgment, but links are a very touchy subject for me. There's 99 bad and one good link broker out there, right? And so, like, you sought advice from smarter people. And so, I love the way that you laid that out as a path to getting where you wanted to go, right? Like you had to make a decision that you're going to do this. You had to leave no other choice. You didn't try to reinvent the wheel. You just said, "Who's done this before, and how can I do exactly what they've done?" And then you just followed the advice of people who are in front of you rather than trying to, again, do something that no one's done. And you had the courage to burn the boats. That's amazing.
Thanks, man. Thanks. Yeah, look, it's gone way beyond what I could ever have dreamed when I started this. But yeah, I agree. Like it's funny, you look back and think, in some ways it was so hard. It's definitely the proudest I've ever been of anything I've achieved, certainly in like a work context, or any sort of like, in fact, any sort of like personal development accomplishment is the proudest that I've ever been of something I've done. But then also because you're incrementally getting better constantly, it's so hard to remember where I was at when I started. Like I think if I would almost love, I wish there was some sort of documentation of the level at which, you know, the way I spoke to customers, the way I, you know, did things on my website, you know, or the way I even thought about business. I'd actually love, it must be how content creators feel when they create content really regularly for a long, long period of time, and then they go back and watch one of their first videos, is that it's almost impossible for your brain to remember how far you've come. And I certainly don't. And it just become you just keep setting the bar again and again and again, rather than realizing. And I'm not great. I wish I was better at sort of stepping back and retrospectively seeing how far I've come.
Yeah, often people don't do that. That's what imposter syndrome is. You don't feel like you belong. And eventually the universe, God, reality punches you in the face over and over with evidence, right? Like you just sold your business for mid six figures. That's a shitload of evidence that you're pretty good at what you did, right? And so like eventually you go, "Oh, maybe I am pretty good." And then all of a sudden you have confidence and then you go act on it and you raise your standards, you raise your abilities, and then you go set new goals and then you get imposter syndrome again of like, "Oh, can I do this? Can I do that?" And then you go do it and you're still imposter syndrome all the way until you're done and then go, "Holy shit. Look what I did." You know what I mean? Like it's a weird journey to go on, but you kind of mentioned on the end part of the dopamine, if you will, right? Like you've never been more proud of yourself or proud of something that you've done. I think too often we spend all of our time on these little devices. Just, you know, we're cocaine addicts. Literally, everyone's a cocaine addict. I'm gonna say I'm not because I don't have the fucking the garbage apps on my phone that do this to you. But like, you can scroll at any moment. You can pull out your phone and get a hit, right? I'll find myself going to the bathroom and reaching for my pocket as I'm taking a piss because it's like, I need a hit of dopamine right here, right? Or I'm sure all of you have that reaction and that short-term dopamine actually like doesn't resonate with you on the same level that your long-term dopamine receptors do. And so like your ability to put effort into this over 2 years, and of course you got dopamine all along the way, but the dopamine rush that you got on that final day, the picture that you sent of you signing the paperwork, I imagine is a feeling you can't describe. It's kind of man, I don't want to relate this to parenthood because I'll piss some people off. Like I didn't know what parenthood was till I had a kid, and it's literally an entirely new feeling that I can't describe. But like that long-term dopamine is often something you can't describe either, because many people have never felt it. They've never actually like challenged themselves to do something really hard, and then when they got done, enjoy the fact that they did it, and enjoy the true long-term dopamine hit that you get. Can you describe that in any way, shape, or form? As far as like, have you ever felt something like this in your life? I know you're incredibly proud of yourself. You should be. Can you relate it to anything? Can you say, okay, previously in my life, I felt like this in this way?
I honestly don't think so, which I think almost shows how unique it is. Yeah, there's just
Fuck
nothing
yeah.
I can think of that I've ever done of a similar nature. I think it's also like for me, the times I tend to appreciate how far I've come and get proud is like it completely changes the way being an entrepreneur that is that you see the world, which is really cool. Like we were having dinner with a few friends recently. And we were just talking about, and I'm not going to go into it because it's a contentious topic and I won't do the discussion justice, but we were talking about one of my friends works for a law firm, and they were discussing like people who are on the partner track who go off to have maternity leave and babies versus those that don't, right? And his viewpoint was that of someone who has worked in a law firm for his entire career. His viewpoint was that of someone who believes that what you put in is what you get out in a very linear fashion, right? And that's it. It's the hours you spend, it's who's there, it's who sacrifices. And I believe in that to an extent, right? That one thing that I've come away from this is if you want anything badly enough and you're willing to commit to it, you can absolutely have it. And if you don't get it, it's always that you didn't actually want it, so that you know you didn't want it great enough. But my viewpoint on that and the value that an individual has and like the exponential value that someone can have if they see things a certain way, act a certain way, have a certain attitude was completely different to what it was 2 years ago. And it's probably hard without sort of being present for that conversation to see that. But I almost stepped back afterwards and thought, wow, that's so interesting how much more broad my mind is now versus 2 years ago, because you're just forced constantly to look at life through such a different lens. But I think it's normally quite positive. I think it's been the toughest self-development journey I've ever had, and it's shown me, it's put things about my own self under a microscope that I never had confronted before, which is like, to be honest, has been tough and painful. But I also wouldn't change it, because I think not only am I a better business owner, I also think I'm a much better human than I was 2 years ago, which like that's the main thing, which is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, your beliefs shape your values, and your rules tell you whether you feel your values or not, right? And we all have these weird rules that I'll be happy when, or this has to happen for me to feel this value or this emotion. And I think that all changes when you kind of put your feet to your do something hard. Entrepreneurship is fucking hard, but it is so unbelievably rewarding. And I'm glad you're getting to experience some of that. So, look, I want to ask a couple more questions. We'll wrap it up here. But like, why sell, right? Without doing your exact math, do math on any business. You made 10K a month. That's 120K over a year. You can multiply that by four. That's roughly what you're going to sell for. We get to close to your numbers, right? So, we can deduce somewhere in that range you're making per month. I know as somebody who has sold. Sometimes you look back and you're like, fuck, big payday, but man, I do kind of miss the 10K a month, right? Like the cash flow truly is king, although these big paydays are fun as hell. And so like, why sell? What made you get to the point where you're like, okay, I'm willing to forego that cash flow for an advance on your salary, if you will, is basically what a sale is, right? And now you have runway to make different decisions.
100%. So the first thing is like the example numbers that Ben sort of put together there, like they're pretty close. And they're nice, quite nice and round numbers. They're pretty close to where we were at, both from like a monthly basis and then also the payout, right? So people can kind of see where we were and they can see the equation. The thing to factor in, right, is the business is growing. So like the idea that the business would have stayed flat for 4 years and continually, let's call it 10K a month, done the 10K a month. It's probably unlikely. Like if I kept doing what I did for the first 2 years, it probably would have continued to increase, and therefore, obviously, so first thing to admit is I 100% left money on the table. 100%. If I was looking at this through a purely financial lens of what is the best way to make the most money over the next 1 to 5 years, 100%. This, keeping the business was where the bigger payout and financial reward was. And that was important for me to admit to myself, to be honest, because I had to be accepting of that and still want to sell in order for me to be comfortable to almost like let myself make that decision, right? I think one thing, I have a lot of mental issues and struggles when it comes to entrepreneurship and running businesses. One thing I am very fortunate at, though, is I do back myself, and so I didn't have to battle with any of that bullshit of like, can I do this again? Was this a one-off? Was this a fluke? Like, I don't personally buy into any of that. I truly believe I could start another business tomorrow, and in 2 years I could get it to probably a far better state because I obviously am so much more experienced than I was originally. I know so much more. So I do believe that it's abundance and that, my career is going to be long, and this will be one of many, many things I do. I also believe that, a factor of maybe another £500,000 or a few extra 100,000, I do believe in the context of my total career and what I do, I think that will be a very small amount. So that was the first thing, is like I got comfortable with the fact that I was going to be leaving money on the table, and I got comfortable with the fact that this was not finite, right? Well, that's the end of my entrepreneurial journey, or that sort of thing. So then I just looked at it through the lens of what did I think was best for me right in this moment, mainly from a personal life perspective. And like in the last 6 months, I've bitten off way more than I could chew, which I wouldn't change any of it because I've loved doing all of it. But like we got married, we moved to spend 3 months in Barcelona, which has always been on our bucket list. Like we've desperately wanted to go and live abroad. We've now just got to a place where we're getting visas and we're going to be able to be out here for 6 months of the year. but like a lot of stress and change came with that. I built a horrible hole for myself. You know, like for example, I said, like my wife and I, we burnt the boats. We both gave up our jobs. We had very good corporate jobs. And, you know, within a couple of months of each other, we gave them both in. So our entire household income and our entire reliance, which is not small, you know, we've got the house, the mortgage, the dog, you know, and when you have corporate jobs and you have monthly income coming in, you know, you get the car, you get all those things. So, you sort of get yourself in a place where your life becomes expensive. And so, yeah, so I got to a place where it felt like there was a hell of a lot on my shoulders. And then the other element was that I hadn't confronted a lot of my own issues that have come from things like, and I know you, BK, have been very open on this podcast about talking about your childhood trauma and your inner belief system. I hadn't done any work on my own. In fact, I'd suppressed it all. I had no appreciation for how my subconscious was driving what I did consciously and how I reacted to things. And so suddenly, I was running a very successful business in the context of things, which was great, but then also it came with it so much of my need to people please, my need to assess myself by how the business was going, me tying my identity to how the business was going, or the perception of whether this person thought we'd done a good job, whether, you know. And so it just brought to me this wave of overwhelming stress and struggle that I had no facility to deal with. And I almost felt like I couldn't deal with it whilst I was in it. I almost dug myself a hole. I also didn't hire. I hired like twice. I did a terrible job. It was not the hire, it was me. I didn't give them any help, any support. And so what I basically did was I put loads on my shoulders, and then I went like, right, I'm gonna be a control freak and keep it all near to me. I'm therefore gonna, and then I'm also gonna take ultimate accountability. So everything's gonna be my fault. If a customer's having a bad day and therefore takes it out on us, that's my fault. I'm gonna let that affect my evening. I'm now gonna be a bit of a shit husband, and I'm gonna be in my head all evening about this thing that I'm stressed that I need to solve because the customer's upset about it, or this delivery that might not get there tomorrow. Then I'm gonna wake up in the morning having slept a little bit restlessly because I'm worried about the anxiety's gonna flood in because I'm gonna think about all these things that I need to do today. And if I don't do a great job on those, I'm gonna tie them to my identity. And then I'm gonna beat myself up in the evening about the fact that I didn't do as well as I should have. And like all of this was happening and the business was just growing and growing, and I just got to the point where I was really struggling to see how I do the work on myself and the business to change the impact it was having on me. And I was starting to really notice the impact it was having on my ability to enjoy things I was enjoying before, my ability to interact with my friends and family and be a good family member, be a good friend, be a good husband. And I created all of this, right? Like another individual with a different belief system and a different way of thinking would have been running that business on top of the world, you know, delighted with how fast it had grown in 2 years, and probably wouldn't have had any of these issues. You know, sure, they probably would have other issues in their life because we've all got, you know, stuff we've got to deal with. But I almost paid the price of, I have always put my personal issues in a box, and I've never done any work on myself or a personal development. And then entrepreneurship just puts it all under the microscope, and it hit me like a train almost. And then suddenly I just thought, you know what? The right thing for me right now feels like to take the exit and use it as a bit of a reset and a bit of a new chapter, really commit to myself. And like you said earlier, like commit to enjoying the journey. And I felt like I needed that almost fresh start to be able to do that.
Well, what now, right? Like, first off, huge self-awareness there to be there. I hope everyone listening to this rewinds that and listens back to that, because that is the journey that we all go on in this process, without a question. If you can take a few steps around some potholes based on what Jaden just said he went through, like that would be beneficial to everyone listening to this. But like, what now, Jaden? So we've gotten here. You've freed your mental space. You've freed your anxiety and your stress. Sounds like you're in Barcelona with your newlywed, which, you know, has its own benefits in other ways that we won't talk about on this podcast. And like, you're in a really good place. You're in this bubble of happiness, right? What now, right? How do you take this energy that you have from being a newlywed, from selling your business, from you know, releasing the stress off of your shoulders, and how do you use this as rocket fuel to go where you're going to go next?
Yeah, so the plan is first and foremost to enjoy the fact that we have years of income in the bank, right? So financial anxiety is put at bay. That's awesome. And I now have the ability to be a bit more considered in what I do next. And the plan is to one, in what I do next, really go into something that I'm passionate about and that I believe I can make a difference whilst also, ultimately, I believe there's honor in capitalism. So I believe that I can build an X business very profitably, but also do good through it. Whether that means just, being a great boss and hiring a team and looking after them in the right way, whether it's actually the product itself that has the impact. And then also I'm excited to go. I don't like the word slowly because I don't ever really enjoy going slowly. And I do still believe there is value in sometimes sprinting and, momentum, but go in a more considered fashion. So for my next business, I have decided, because it's important to me based on the journey I've had, that the business is going to be committed to helping solopreneurs or business owners in the early parts of their journey be the happiest and best versions of themselves whilst they're going on that journey. And I'm going to document my entire journey while I'm doing this, because I'm gonna fail at this a lot. Because here I am as the poster child of someone who struggled with that. Like, I had the I'm happy whens. I believed if I could just get out my corporate job and have a successful business that I would be happy and have no problems. And like, geez, was I wrong? And don't get me wrong here, like, whilst I'm talking about it quite vulnerably, I wouldn't change it for the world, right? I am so much happier and so much better as a human than I was 2 years ago. So absolutely, I did the right thing. I'm so grateful I went on the journey, but it wasn't, I was so naive to believe that it would be relatively smooth sailing. And the funny thing is, and this is probably going to blow people's minds who are, maybe in the stage where they've never started a business, is I don't know what I'm going to sell yet. I don't have a product idea in mind. I'm just going to give and give as much as I can to, I'm almost going to try to build a community of people. I'm going to go to networking events. I'm going to go to spaces, talks, all that sort of thing. And then obviously digital things as well. And I just want to speak to as many people who are early in their entrepreneurial journey that they've had some success. Maybe they've got themselves out of the job. Maybe they're, they're running a business, but I just want to understand, what are they struggling with? Is it similar to what I did? Do they have different challenges? And I just want to spend time giving them value, helping where I can, going on my own journey with it, and then just sharing what I find. And my belief is that if I do that well enough, that eventually it will become incredibly clear which problems of theirs I should commit my time to solving, which, products I might need to develop in order to truly help that person. But for now, I'm really trying to be strict with myself of not suddenly going, oh, wouldn't a supplement be really helpful? Or, oh, I've personally had fantastic results with hypnotherapy. Wouldn't it be great if I could help people to get into that? But if I do that, I'm almost doing a disservice to myself and the people I end up serving. Like, I want to get to the point where I've understood and connected with people in this position who will eventually be my customer so deeply that it's so obvious what we need to produce, because I completely understand their problems and what it would look like to actually build something, create something, develop something that's going to help them. So that might seem really vague and wishy-washy, but that's what's next.
Yeah, I think curiosity is a great thing, right? And so it sounds like you're very curious into how this came about for you and how you can solve it for others. And like, that would be my advice to you too in that position is like, don't do anything but be curious for the next 6 months, right? And enjoy yourself, and let intuition, let the universe kind of guide you into whatever's next. And it might be completely different from what you said today, and that's fine too, right? Like you shouldn't. Okay, we did this. Okay, well, now what do I commit to? It's like committing to what you're going to do in university when you're 18 years old and you have no, your brain's not even fully formed. You're like, fuck yeah, I'm going to do this for the next 50 years. Like, no, of course not, right? And so like, you're not, you're 27, is that right? 28?
I'm 29 now, unfortunately.
29.
I'm getting
All right,
old.
so. Your brain is actually fully formed now, so like maybe you can have some reasoning in the way that you think about life. Like I didn't even start till I was 30, right? And so like there's a good chance that a year from now you're in a completely different place and you're thinking about things differently. So anyway, I wanted to have you on here. I wanted you to share your story. I wanted to give you an opportunity for me to tell you to put your money in Bitcoin so you don't lose your purchasing power over the next few years of your money sitting in the bank. So there's my little Bitcoin shill for you. I love a good Bitcoin. But I also just recently sold my business, so I'm going to shill one other thing. John and I are bringing back the Patreon. We're bringing a YouTube membership to the table, and we're going to record our first episode tomorrow as of the time of this recording. So it may be out, maybe not be out, but check out patreon.com/dropshipbreakthrough if you want to hear about me recently selling a business, or check out on YouTube. You can join as a member there as well. This will be a little bit of a private club. It will be a monthly payment on YouTube or a paper episode on Patreon. So if you want to hear my story, do it over there. But Jaden, thanks for coming on and sharing your story, buddy. I appreciate you. You've been in and out of this community in some ways, and it sounds like a lot of that is due to stress. And I want you to know that we appreciate everything you gave to this community while you were here. Like you learned from us, and I know you're appreciative of that, but like, you know, you gave back too. And like, I see that, and I want to make sure you know I see you.
Thanks, buddy. Right. Two thoughts just to end on, if that's okay. The first thought is, you're absolutely right. I had to take some time away from the community because of, you know, I needed that mental space. So the first thing is I want to give back to the community. So please do feel free, more than ever, please feel like my DMs are open. I'm thinking about, I haven't done any of this yet, but I might just set up like a separate email inbox that just allows people to shoot me questions, things like that. I'm conscious that I disappeared off to try and look after myself, and I've got the beauty of Headspace now. So I'd like to give back to the community and help some people. And then the next thing is, just thank you, really. You know, I sent John and BK and a few other people who have supported me in the community a thank you on the day I sold, when I was feeling very, you know, sort of introspective, etc. But I am incredibly grateful for every person in this community, to be honest, and of course John and Ben, because like, it sounds corny, but it has genuinely helped to change my life. So yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, of course, Ben. He's in our elite, so if you're a member and you're in Slack, ask him a question, tag him. He's going to answer them in there. And if you're not in our course, if this wasn't a reason to join our course and change your life and come hang out with Jaden and some other wonderful people, I don't know what will be. So we'd love to see you inside. And again, thanks, Jaden, for being here. Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business. John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business, not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts, to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business. We're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for the Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out the Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.